It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! It is hump day, and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of the things that we're doing, the upcoming guests. Our most recent op-eds, our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well, and we'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like. We've got a big show planned for you today. In studio with me is my good friend, valued partner of the Kim Munson Show, and that is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with REMAX Alliance.
Good morning.
It's great.
Happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. And the subject that we're really going to delve into in the third and fourth segment is something that is so near and dear to your heart, and that is property rights. And in Colorado, in Denver, apparently you can do something called a hostile designation, where a third-party entity can come in and ask for your property to be designated as a landmark or historical.
Historical.
And that means you can't do anything with your property. It ties your hands, and so a third party can actually affect your property rights. It's a really important subject, Karen Levine.
Most definitely, and I'm excited we're able to have that conversation today.
So Katie Sisk, who is an owner of a condo development that the third party has come in and tried to put a hostile designation on that, she'll join us in the third and fourth segment, so it'll be a very important conversation.
Yes, she's one of the property owners of one of the units in the building, and so I'm anxious to hear her thoughts about, you know, being under this really oppression.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, Karen, as we have done this show, you've been a partner of the show for a long time. Thank you so much. Things are becoming clear, and we're getting more and more clarity. And what happens with socialism is ultimately it gets rid of the individual. It puts people in groups and identifies them with groups instead of individuals, which is antithetical to the American idea. But the other thing that it does is it gets rid of property rights. Mm-hmm. It's fine under socialism if people work. You just don't get to keep a lot of the stuff. The government will take that. With socialism, it's typically via policy or excessive and oppressive taxation. This is becoming real clear to me, because under socialism that we're seeing presented here in America now, it's like people get to live for free.
Mm-hmm.
But under socialism, somebody has to work. And so they do want people to be workers. They just don't want people to have the fruits of their labor.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
yeah.
So that's becoming clearer and clearer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and we'll talk with Hal Van Herke, who is owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, later today, as well as Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. Tim McCormick, who is a candidate for district attorney for Adams and Broomfield counties, will be our guest in the second segment. And Karen, you know it, you're a realtor. Safe communities are really important. You don't have anybody come in and say, I want to live in an unsafe community, huh?
Actually, no.
Come to think of it.
I was just thinking of an email I received this week, and almost every buyer in, whether it's our discussion or email conversations, our communications say, well, and we want a safe neighborhood.
Yes, and that's why these DA races are super important. Mm. And just wanted to mention the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour. That was so fun. You were there on Friday. Was that not cool?
It was so fun. It was so awesome. And just the coming together of like-mindedness and the desire to preserve what America means, what it's about. And the thing is, you talked about individuals. We were individuals, a variety of, coming collectively for a cause. And it was really awesome.
What did you think of the bus? Were you surprised?
Oh, the bus. I've been bragging about the bus all week.
Okay.
I've been showing pictures. I think it is beautiful. It is powerful. And it should speak to not just the minorities, but to all people in America. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Reggie and Johnny know what they're doing. They've been in the marketing business for a long time. They were in the hip-hop music business, so they know what they're doing. And that was pretty, it was pretty incredible.
It was pretty good.
That was pretty fun. You know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom, or now we're seeing freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And if something is a good idea, you should not need force to implement it. Very interesting headline, Karen Levine. Apparently, I did not realize this, but hair salons are still closed down in California. First of all,
oh, people are looking really poor, aren't they?
Oh, I tell you, just what that does to your psyche to not have a haircut for 7 months. So,
and your roots start looking really bad.
That's true. That is true. So apparently, Nancy Pelosi was filmed in a hair salon that's been closed down without a mask on, getting her hair done. Steve, it's one of those, we see it all the time, elites versus the bourgeois, Bush's, everybody else. And here she is getting her hair done in San Francisco, and they have that salon closed down. I read the quote from the owner, because I guess she rents out the different chairs, and so she said, I can't really, you know, say anything to people because they're renting out the chair. But she said, they've closed down my business. I'm not going to last that much longer. And so when we talk about taking people's livelihood via force, you know, with this, with these different rules and regulations, there's something really wrong about that. Steve, what do you think?
Well, this is multifaceted. What do I think of the Nancy Pelosi piece of it, or the bigger picture? I mean, in terms of Pelosi, I mean, it's incredibly audacious, and I've been asking you guys, a normal human being cannot have that much audacity naturally occurring, so they must be passing out audacity pills in the House of Representatives.
Well, and this is the quote from this piece. This was in the Epoch Times that says the speaker, because she was asked about that, her office was asked about it, says the speaker always wears a mask and complies with local COVID requirements. This business offered for the speaker to come in on Monday and told her they were allowed by the city to have one customer at a time in the business. The speaker complied with the rules as presented to her by this establishment. First of all, she's the one that's at the top making the rules, Karen Levine. And then the owner, Kiosk, said receiving a blowout of her hair goes against current COVID-19 safety precautions put in place for hair salons. It's like, honest to Pete.
Really? Well, and I'm sorry, but I believe here in Colorado, most salons, and I'm not positive, can't do blowout service because, you know, if you do all that blowing, it creates that virus to go everywhere. That's what they say. I don't know.
I didn't realize there was that component.
I think there is, because I know the first time I went back when our salons opened, my salon did blow dry my hair, and we had masks on. But I know my girlfriend's salon, they didn't feel comfortable doing that. So. It's interesting.
It's very interesting. Well, the owner said this. This is what broke my heart. She said, we have been shut down for so long, not just me, but most of the small businesses, and I just can't. It's a feeling of being deflated, helpless, and honestly beaten down. Mm-hmm. And the point on this is, as I look at what is happening, it's been our small businesses that have been under assault. And it's our small businesses that create that big, broad middle class, which in socialism, there is no big, broad middle class. So I've got on the line with me Hal Van Herke, a new partner of the Kim Munson Show. He is a small business owner. Hal Van Herke, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be back here.
And
yeah,
you are...
I heard the talk leading in about the salon in San Francisco and Nancy Pelosi's, specialized use of a business that would otherwise be closed. Yeah, so, interesting. I read that when the article first came out, and the woman's response who owns a salon about how frustrating it is as a small business owner. And I could definitely relate to that 100%. It's amazing to see that the political class in this country, the little the lack of understanding and the lack of respect they have for small business owners.
Well, and you're the owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, and so you've really kind of seen this firsthand through what we went through here in Colorado. Fortunately, we're not quite as draconian as California, but still, it's been rouge for many of our small business people, Hal Van Herke.
Yeah, it has been. The you know, every day you drive, you know, you do your errands, you drive to work or drive back home, you see one of your favorite places that's gone for good and never going to reopen. And we all know, I believe we all know, I know dozens of people who have lost their business and it will never get it back. And in some cases, you're talking about a hobby business that was maybe that not that big of a deal. But in other cases, you're talking about businesses that were 2, 3, 4 generation businesses that the family depended on, not only on their livelihood, but for their kids, for their grandkids, et cetera. So it is devastating, and I think that it's one of the most eye-opening things we've seen as a result of this, as government's handling of this pandemic, is the lack of awareness and sensitivity toward the needs of small business, the lack of the small business community's ability to have any lobby power with government or a voice to their government, and in some cases you have to wonder if it's not downright being targeted in order to eliminate private property rights.
Yeah.
You know, private property ownership. Yeah,
You know, Hal, that's exactly where I'm at, because you look at Nancy Pelosi, if in fact this COVID-19 Wuhan virus was as dangerous as she and the Democrats have said that it is, and then shut down businesses, my gosh, don't you think that she would have been terrified that she had gone to a salon in San Francisco and actually had her hair blown dry, where it would have COVID, you know, virus going everywhere. So either it's not true what they're telling us, or it doesn't matter the way they're telling us. Hal, your final thought on that?
Yeah, my thought on that is, you know, something else that's recently come out from the CDC, and I didn't believe it myself. A friend of mine asked, I had to go look it up myself on the website. You know, they said that they posted that only 6% of the cases that have been forwarded by county, you know, local coroners to the CDC, the deaths in the United States, only 6% were due exclusively to COVID. The other 94% had other serious pre-existing conditions listed, or other conditions listed as the primary cause of death, or only listed COVID-like symptoms. But only 6%, which translates to a little bit over 9,000 cases, were definitively the result of COVID.
Wow, and I think the flu deaths are significantly more. So, Hal Van Herke, you've got a great family-owned business, Sedalia, Colorado, Castlegate Knife and Tool. I would highly recommend people go out. You have knives for collectors, for military personnel, for gift sets, which I've been using because some people are getting, we're having weddings again, which is a great thing. And so I would highly recommend that they go out to Castlegate, and that website is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. Hal Van Herke, thanks so much. You have a great day.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay, Karen Levine, we're going to go to break. When we come back, you were mentioning that people are asking, is this a safe community? Mm-hmm. That is inherent. That's kind of a bedrock. And we're going to be talking with Tim McCormick. He is running for district attorney for Adams and Broomfield counties. And we are seeing how important these DA races are. So this is Kim Munson. Karen Levine's in studio. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and go over to Facebook and give us a like. I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And I thank you, each of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose today. Strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our quote for today, which is very apropos, is George Washington. Apparently, the D.C. mayor is starting to kick around the idea that they want to take down the Washington Monument, if you can believe that, Karen Levine. But this is what George Washington said. You know, he was born in 1732. He died in 1799. He was our first president. He was the general that won the Revolutionary War. And he said this. He said, "If freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent as may be led like sheep to the slaughter." Again, one more time. If freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. Very important, freedom of speech. And we see that being assaulted in all kinds of different ways. Mm-hmm. So, Karen Levine, mm-hmm. we're going to be talking with Tim McCormick. You are an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. I'll throw in the phone number, 303-877-7516. But you said that people, when they're reaching out to you to buy, one of their first questions is what?
Well, their first need, their first desire is, we want a safe community. And I can't define what a safe community is, but I know in my heart it's a place that, you know, kids can play in the cul-de-sac and not be fearful. They can ride their bikes. I can walk down the block or around the corner with my dog and know that I'm safe, you know. I happen to live in Westminster, and sad to say that the little girl that was murdered many years ago, I think it's mm-hmm. maybe been about a decade, was not far from my home. And my neighbors have two young kids, and now they're not young kids. They're preteen and teenagers. And he still is fearful about his daughters and keeping an eye on them. But I think when you're in the environment we're living in today, that issue becomes more of a concern for people. And then we say we want to defund those who keep safety in our neighborhoods.
It does not make sense. Mm-hmm. And so that's why these district attorney races are so important, Karen Levine. We have on the line with us Tim McCormick. He's the candidate for Adams and Broomfield County's DA. Tim McCormick, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim, and good morning, Karen. Good morning to your listeners, and good morning to everybody in Adams and Broomfield County. Thanks for having me on.
So, Tim, you've heard what Karen said. People want safe communities, and that's why these DA races are so important, because we have seen what is happening across the nation at these George Soros-funded district attorneys and how they are picking and choosing which people they prosecute. And I think everyday hardworking folks didn't realize how important these races are. But it is. So explain to us what's been happening with crime in the metro area.
Sure. And I appreciate you bringing it up, because they are very important. First thing, though, that quote by George Washington is very profound, especially in the times that we find ourselves in now. And, you know, I agree with Karen that safe communities are the ultimate goal. And I did some research before we came on here today. And unfortunately, when you look at data, crime data from the FBI, they call it the murder capitals in the state of Colorado. Of course, Denver is number one. I think we would all expect that. But unfortunately, in the top 10 is Westminster, Federal Heights, Thornton, and Aurora. So right there alone, in Adams County, you have four to five jurisdictions who are making the top mm-hmm. 10 list that you don't want to be on. And as a district attorney, you have a profound impact in your community's public safety. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running, is I want to return the top priority of this office of the 17th Judicial District back to public safety. And my priority is, you know, people like Karen, Karen's families, Karen's relatives, you, Kim, anybody that lives in our jurisdiction that, wants to just be able to go out, like you said, walk your dog, take your kids to the park, and not have to worry about it. And unfortunately, in today's world, you know, crime is certainly on the increase.
Well, and I've looked at the statistics that it looks like crime is really increasing here in the metro area. And Tim, it's really directly, I think, because of policy, because I don't think that there's really more bad guys and bad women out on the streets. I think that it's really more the policies that we've seen coming down from these Democrat-run cities and Democrat-run states. What do you think?
That's a possibility, and it certainly is their policies and the way that they're handling things and allowing people to get out. You said that before we got on here about the Soros Pact or these activist DAs, and I have to be honest, we talked an awful lot, Kim, and I appreciate the platform that you've given me, but every time you turn around in the news, these activist DAs almost are like trying to who can outdo who. You know, I think a couple weeks ago we saw the new Portland DA, George Soros back to come out and talk about how he's not going to prosecute these rioters and these looters unless the officers can, you know, deliberately prove that they're trying to set fire, loot, destroy a business. Well, I mean, we've all watched the news. We've seen the videotape from up there. It certainly looks like that's what's going on. And then not
you
to
think?
Be outdone by that. Yeah, right. Some people say that, and I think, well, you know, do you think we're stupid not seeing this? And then not to be outdone by that, you have a district attorney in California who is also a Soros-backed DA who's good friends with, this should come as no surprise, Kim Fox, the DA in Chicago, and Kim Gardner, the DA in St. Louis, who have obviously made their reputation in the media for...
They're giving Kim a bad name. I may have to change my name, Tim.
Well, her name is Diana Becton. How about that?
Okay.
She came out and she said that, you know, we're not going to, you know, so-called looting guidelines. Okay.
What?
So, right.
Oh, my.
In order to prosecute looters, because in California, if you're charged with looting, it's kind of a sentencing enhancer, right? So if I'm charged with the underlying crime of, let's say, theft or burglary or property destruction, if it was during the course of looting, then it could enhance the potential sentence that a court could impose. Well, she didn't like that. So she sent out to the law enforcement kind of a factors to consider in making the determination of whether or not, you know, this person was looting. You know, this is great. Number one, was the target business open or closed to the public during the
honestly,
emergency? I don't think that makes a difference. What was the manner and means by which the suspect gained entry to the target business? What was the nature, quantity, and value of the goods targeted? Here's my favorite, Kim and Karen. Was the theft committed for financial gain or personal need?
Oh, my gosh.
Then the last one is there an articulable reason why another statute won't adequately address a particular instance? So basically what we have here, and this is what's concerning to me, and I have to be honest with you, I'm getting more fed up with it. You take an oath as a district attorney to uphold the laws of the state that you're in, as well as the Constitution of both the state and the United States of America. We have these activist DAs now that have come, you know, full circle, Soros back, whatever you want to call them, activist DAs around the United States that are taking the law into their own hands and using their own personal beliefs, you know, and convictions to determine right from wrong. They are setting up their agenda. You know, they want the justice system to decide winners and losers irrespective of facts. That's not what the justice system is about. I've told you before, I will always defend the Constitution. I stand for the rule of law, law and order, and will provide due process. But when you get into it and you start interfering like that, and ultimately, Kim and Karen, that has a negative impact on the safety in your community.
Well, most definitely. And Tim, we're going to be focused, Tim McCormick, we're focused on property rights today during this show. And when we talk about looting, this is, you know, what you've just given is taking other people's stuff. Now, they're trying to, you know, give guidelines on how people can take other people's stuff. But when other people, you know, take other people's property, I mean, that is, I mean, that it's stealing. I mean,
stealing.
It's unbelievable to me, Tim McCormick.
It is theft. It could be burglary. It could be stealing. It could be, you know, criminal mischief. You name it. You know, And the same with the activist DA in Oregon. You know, if I get caught destroying a piece of property or somebody's business, say I set fire to it, and there's X amount of dollars of damage and restitution. If I pay that, okay, if I come in and I pay whatever the restitution is, then they're not going to charge you. Now, we all know that these groups are being wildly funded, and there's deep pockets behind them. So it's almost kind of a free pass, right? Mm-hmm. I go down, I can destroy a business, I can live it, I can burn it. Oh, you know, amount of restitution is $100,000. Somebody's going to pay that, and then I wouldn't get charged with it. I mean, that you can't do that. It's the legislature makes the laws. The executive branch enforces them, and the judicial branch determines, you know, constitutionality.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have DAs who are saying, I'm not prosecuting certain types of crime, that's not within their purview to do that.
Right.
The legislature is the one that has to make the determination as to whether or not a class of crimes or whatever is a chargeable offense or is even a crime. They could solve this. The legislature could come down and say, okay, look, you know what? Looting's not a crime anymore. Have at it. Okay, we're not going to agree with that, but they could do
but
that.
People but flee the state. People will flee the state. It will affect the value of people's homes. Mm-hmm. People will flee the state, and it won't take long for people to vote these people out of office, which, Tim McCormick, that's mm-hmm. why these elections are so important. And I am highly recommending people want to know, what can I do? I'm suggesting that they adopt a candidate, and that would mean that they could, you know, it might just be donating to you, or it could be walking or making phone calls or text messages or whatever. But Tim McCormick, if people want to adopt you, how can they do that?
Well, I'd be more than happy to have them adopt me. You can go to McCormickforDA.com, McCormickforDA.com. And one final note, Kim, I know you got to go on, you and Karen. Violent crime is up in the city in terms of Metro and Aurora, up 17%. You've had aggravated assaults up 27%. Robbery, burglary, car theft, and larceny are all up words of double digits just since the year started. So I agree with you. Safe community takes a lot of work. I want to be that DA because I can work with law enforcement and people in the community to actually prevent crime from happening in the first place before it gets to the courthouse. So thank you for having me on. And Karen, have a great day.
You bet, Tim, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Okay, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. We're talking about property rights, and that's something that you you specialize in, is helping people keep their property, the things that they put together to, you know, get into retirement. So that's what you do. Jason McBride, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Kim, and hopefully we can help people make their, gosh, I can't speak this morning. Hopefully we can help people to have their property produce for them, keep them going in retirement. And I think the biggest part is to reduce your worries and concerns, because, boy, Kim, the last thing I'd want to be doing if I ever got to retire would be to be worrying every day that, well, what if something happens mm-hmm. to the stock market? What if, you know, my assets that are, you know, that I'm living off of, what if something bad happens and then I don't have enough money to live on anymore? I think that would be a very, very big concern I would not want to have to deal with. And, you know, there are things out there to supplement your stock holdings and bond holdings and that type of thing that are safe, that do give you that type of income. And most of the time it's some type of an annuity, which I know some folks think is a bad word, but I really happen to like them. If folks understand why they would be looking at one and what it does, I find most of the time they're very pleased and very comfortable and pleasantly surprised once they learn the actual truth on how they work.
Well, and it's something, you know, you sit down and you take a look at a complete portfolio, you assess
right.
your risk tolerance, assess where you might want to get yield, growth, and, you know, that changes as people get older. And you and your colleagues at Presidential, you've been around. I was going to say, you said you couldn't talk when you first got on the line. I thought maybe you'd been out in San Francisco trying to get a blowout on your hair.
Oh, boy, yeah. I tried, but they said the salon was full. They said there was like a huge ego in there and there wasn't room for anyone else.
That's for sure. So, Jason McBride, I would recommend this is a great time of opportunity. And when opportunity knocks, you need to answer the door. And so now is a good time to reach out to you, sit down, do a portfolio evaluation, and also go over to our landing page together. That's airpresidential.com, AIRpresidential.com. Specifically, since we're moving into Labor Day, we're going to be with friends and family. And as we talk about, you know, all the different issues out there, it's important that people know the facts. And so you did a comparison regarding the Trump tax cuts, apples to apples, same family, same everything from 2017 to 2019. And with the Trump tax cuts, everyday hardworking middle class people had significantly more in their pocket because they paid less in federal income taxes. It is an excellent analysis. I would recommend people go over to Air Presidential and take a look at that.
Well, I would too, Kim. As you've pointed out, and you do a better Bernie Sanders than I do, so I won't try it. It's not a tax cut for the millionaires and billionaires. It's everyday people that are really seeing the biggest benefit, the biggest drop in the taxes they owe. That's, you know, that could be taken away very, very quickly after this November if things don't, you know, go the way that I hope they go.
Well, that's for sure. And so property, whether or not it's your physical property or your, you know, your stocks, your bonds, your annuities, or your intellectual property, that's why Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas with I'm a Trumpster, that's the thing that really got them. But property rights are so important. So Jason McBride, people can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
You bet. Okay, property rights. We've got Katie on the line, Karen Levine, and I can't wait to talk with her because she is seeing firsthand an assault on her private property rights. And property rights, as you know, they're inherent in the American idea, Karen.
Well, and we need to be reminded that what built America was the ability to own our own home and to utilize that as a wealth builder for our families. And home ownership is under assault, and Katie's an example of that. So I'm anxious to hear her story. The National, or I should say the Denver Metro Association of Realtors, is working hard. Our Government Affairs Committee is working hard to educate City Council in Denver and to help this group of people. And we appreciate that she has time to be on your show.
So stay tuned. This is Kim Munson. Karen Levine's in the studio. We'll be right back with Katie Sisk.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can go over to Facebook and give us a like. We'd greatly appreciate that. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at the website as well. You'll get first look at everything that we are doing. Karen Levine, my valued partner. She is a RE/MAX award-winning realtor. You know, and you bring a lot to the table. You have great negotiating skills, and that is really important in this market, Karen Levine. And how can people get more information about you?
Well, they can call me at 303-877-7516. They can also go to karen-levine.com, my website, to find out a little bit more about me. And I think the 5280 edition in October will have a little blurb on me as well.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait on that. But private property rights, I mean, that's something that is just so important to you and I. And Patty had pulled this headline. I'd seen this story. And then somebody reached out to me and said, you know, is this important to you? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so important. And so let's welcome Katie Sist to the show. She is a special education teacher with Denver Public Schools, and she owns a condominium here in Denver. Katie Sist, welcome to the show.
Kim, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
So we're talking about private property rights, and Katie, you've got a front row seat to somebody coming in. It's called a hostile designation. Apparently, this condo development that you live in why don't you set it up for us? Because you know more about it than I do, Katie. Jump in here.
Yeah, no, thank you so much again, Kim. I am one of seven owners. Carmen Court sits off of Spear and is six units. And owners range from owning 23 years to about nine. Years. I've owned for 9 years. And for many of this is our only asset. And we value property rights. And never really thought that we would be in a situation where a third party or activist can come together and file an application claiming that a private property like ours meets historical criteria. This has been a very unfortunate and sad and disheartening experience for all of us, and really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show to really talk about the importance of property rights and what we're going through and how this process really does need to change.
Okay, so you said that there are how many owners again at Carmen Court?
There are seven owners.
Okay.
There are five single women. There are two mothers out of the group, and then we have a retired couple. And as I shared, we have the retired couple has lived here for 23 years, and we have one of the owners that has lived here for 8 years. You mentioned that I'm a special education teacher, you know, and yes, I have worked for Denver Public Schools for almost 20 years. We have artists, we have hospice care volunteers that and public servants, and so it's really a group of owners that has really given back to the city of Denver and the community.
Now,
so this is really an unfortunate situation.
Yeah. Now, I know the property, and I've actually admired it. It certainly is very cool looking. So what has happened is what a developer came to you all, and they want to buy the property, and so that would be really good for you because you all then would make, I mean, you have your wealth then if you sell this, and I would guess all of you have agreed to do that. Is that correct, all owners?
Yeah, thank you for the question. We, this journey started almost 4 years ago for us. We came together collectively because of the deferred maintenance and the ongoing issues that we've had with upkeep of our building, and decided to list our land. I would say about probably a year ago, engaged in conversations with Hines, and are really excited about the opportunity to be able to sell our land and have a much-needed assisted living / memory care facility to complement what is already here in this location. But
just
really
across the street, right,
piece,
right.
Right, just across the street. What the really important piece for us is that this has become way too cost prohibitive. We're looking at over $500,000 of
maintenance and costs.
You know, it's looking like about $130,000 per unit.
Oh my gosh.
Which for a person like myself, you know, I would go bankrupt overnight. So this is a make or break situation for many of us. And yes, it's charming, but it does not meet criteria for designation. It's a private property. It's never been public. It meets only 30% or 3 out of the 10 criteria. And our research, frankly, shows that it doesn't meet any of the criteria. I'm sure that you've kind of followed some of the news there as well. But we're just very, it's unfortunate that applicants can file with a $875 kind of fee to file an application to designate a property that is not on any list as potential consideration for historical designation.
Katie, this is Karen, and I just have a quick question. Do you guys have any idea why you think that building, that particular property, was targeted, other than it's a cool-looking building?
You know, that's a good question. Obviously, the location of this and right across from Hungarian Park is ideal and for some. I don't really know outside of, there has been a lot of development. So I couldn't even begin to guess why our building is targeted outside of the three activists that clearly live in the area and would like to see this designated and not developed. I think it's really important that people know that Heinz wants to work within the current zoning. I don't know if you all have been, you know, by the area, but this is a community that has a wide variety of developed development already. And so it's unfortunate that this building has been targeted. It is a misuse, in my mind, of the way the application has been submitted to stop a development. And it's unfortunate that we've been targeted. As I mentioned, this is, you know, this is my only asset, but for a couple of us it is. And it's unfortunate that this is, that we are where we are.
Well,
property rights is really important.
It really is. And so, Katie, what has happened here is 7 condo owners had come together, and when you're talking about the deferred maintenance, it is cool looking, but it's also an old building. And when you're describing just for you the maintenance of $130,000, you're a teacher, you're a special education teacher at Denver Public Schools. This is your main asset. And the fact that 3 activists can file something for $875 and possibly prevent you all from selling your property, creating wealth, you know, taking that wealth that you have created and then being able to take that and put that someplace else is really wrong. We talk about it's never compassionate to take other people's rights or their property with, you know, in this case, this is, I don't know even what you would call this. This is a hostile designation. But if, in fact, these 3 people valued your property so much, they should take their own money and they should come in and offer you more than what you've been offered now. And then they can own the property and they can love it the way they want to love it. But that is what I think should happen, Katie Sisk.
Well, I appreciate you, you know, you mentioning that. You probably would be aware that the process itself changed following Tom Steiner and have, now the way the process works when an when there's intent to file an application is that you go through mediation first. And so we actually put on the table back on May 5th the opportunity for the applicants to find a buyer.
And
this is now our 3rd attempt. We just put on the table this last week an additional 45-day extension, which is really, really hard for us. But we would really like, you know, to your point, if they really love this building, then they should find a buyer that can do what needs to happen and preserve the building. But it's really important that the community understand that the landmark designation process really needs to be revisited, that you shouldn't have a an owner-opposed designation on a private property that meets the very minimum criteria. 3 out of 10 criteria is really disheartening.
Oh my gosh. Katie, I tell you,
it's going to have to consider.
Yeah. Katie, let's go to break. I'm talking with Katie Sisk regarding this real assault on private property rights with her and the six other people that own a condo development here in Denver. I've got Karen Levine in studio with me, REMAX Alliance award-winning realtor. You can reach her at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516. Before we go to break, though, wanted to give a shout-out to another one of my great partners, entrepreneurs, and that is Hooters Restaurants here in the metro area. They have 5 locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, and curbside service. Karen Levine, when all the girls get together over at my house, I normally have Hooters delivered, and those barbecue shrimp. It's good.
Shrimp are delightful. So are the wings.
Yeah.
Their delivery service is just so efficient. I mean, when the doorbell rings on Wednesdays, we're like, Hooters is here, you know.
And there we go. So more information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. We'll go to break and be right back with Katie Sisk.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
The Mark Griffith Show, this afternoon at 1 on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at everything that's coming up. Go over to Facebook and give us a like, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. In studio with me is my valued partner, and that is my business partner, and that is Karen Levine. You've been a partner of the show for a long time, and thank you so much. You're an award-winning realtor with REMAX Alliance. People can reach you at 303-877-7516. Karen Levine, this whole conversation with Katie Sisk, I can just tell it's really important to you. So what's your thoughts?
Well, it's kind of making my blood boil. Katie, and you know, the Denver Association of Realtors has been behind you guys. Peter Wall, our government affairs director, has definitely a hand on what's going on, and it keeps us informed. But I said to Kim at the break, the free market and the you know, our ability to put something out there to sell, and buyers and sellers in the marketplace determine what value is. And you had somebody come to you and say, we believe the value of your property is X, and then these people can come in and, you know, basically take this off rail. And like you said, this started 4 years ago. And I think of time and money that you guys have invested in addition to the fact that this is your housing. It makes me sad, because I'd like to ask those people who chose to put in this application, if that was the roof over their head, is this how they would want to be treated? And if this was their asset, is this what they would like to, you know, the road to travel? And I think what's sad is we forget to look at the other side. And you guys invested in a home. You have lived there, in your case, for 9 years. You have built equity, and you made a good investment. And now they're threatening that. And, you know, the realtor community is behind you guys.
Well, we really just, Karen, appreciate everybody being behind us and all of the support. We really need the support right now. We need city council to, you know, revisit the process because this could happen to anybody. This is, you know, the first property I bought on my own. And it's certainly upsetting to be in this situation, to know that people can violate our rights the way that they can. And to your point, you know, that we have a lot riding on this. We've invested a ton of money collectively over the years, and it is just too much. And we deserve to sell our land at its value rate.
And I think what's cool about the opportunity that the seven of you had is the value is not really in the condo building itself. It is in the land. And, you know, whether you're wise or whether you had a wise realtor behind you that gave you direction when you made those purchases, your location, and we talk about location and condition and pricing are the things that affect market. And you made a great investment, and now you're not, your ability to reap the benefit of making that decision is literally being raped. And, you know, so I think it's important that the listeners hear that people that are getting elected into these city council positions, you know, they're not looking out for their citizens' best interests.
And that is really their responsibility, Katie. First of all, is we want safe communities and to protect people's property rights. And so we really do call on these elected representatives to do the right thing. And so tell us, what's the next step? What's going to happen here, Katie, now?
Yeah, what's going to happen? Well, as I mentioned, we were back at the Land Use Transportation Committee, and at that time, the owners have offered and applicants have agreed to a 45-day extension. And so what does that mean? That means that we this will be our third attempt at getting the asking them to find a buyer, and Hines will step aside. The other component of this is then it sets up that we would go back to city council if a buyer is not found at the beginning of November. But what other pieces that I think are important for listeners in is knowing that this is minimum criteria, and one of them, the only way it actually meets one of its criteria is by including our front yard, is really getting people to write into city council to, you know, we would urge the applicants to pull the application. There are things that could happen between now and November that would really allow the seven of us to sell our land and for this to, you know, it's seen its lifetime.
So could city council do something before November? I mean, could they take action now?
No, but they could be affected, I think.
Okay. Okay.
You know, again, this goes back to the fact that we, you know, hope that, I think, you know, that the applicants can produce a buyer. City council does not want to go to vote. I think that city council is a big job for all its constituents. But we are constituents, and so city council needs to understand that it doesn't impact just me. This impacts seven of us. It impacts our entire community, and really appreciate the realtors and everybody that is behind us in supporting our position, because this could happen to anybody. It only takes three people who think that a property is worthy of historical designation, and any person could be in the situation that I just happen to be in right now. So we do urge, people to reach out to City Council. We do need people to testify at City Council in November if it doesn't become resolved beforehand.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Katie Sisk, and as you mentioned, these workers, I think you said there's five single women, two mothers, and a retired couple. And for $875, three activists were able to file something that prevented you all from selling your property, and to bring your property to repair it, it would cost at least $130,000. You are like us, everyday hardworking woman. You teach special education in the Denver Public Schools, and it is a property right that you be able to do this with your property. Katie Sisk, thank you so much for being with us today. Keep us informed. We'll stay on this with you.
Thank you so much for the time.
Most definitely. And Karen Levine, award-winning realtor, RE/MAX Alliance, thank you so much for being here in studio with us today.
It was my pleasure. I never like when the alarm goes off at 3:45, but I always love it when I'm here.
When you're here. And just very quickly, we have about 30 seconds. Final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners.
I would just encourage any Denver residents, if this tugged at your heart, reach out to City Council and let them know that this is not fair, this is stealing, and that things need to change, because it could be you, a property owner, in the future.
When I heard a catch in Katie's voice, it broke my heart as well. So our quote for today is George Washington. He said, freedom and property rights are inseparable. You can't have one without the other. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.